Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and reported to him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while." People were coming and going in such great numbers that they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When Jesus disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We see at the beginning of today's Gospel how important it is for us to heed Jesus' invitation to go away with him for a little while and rest. That's what we've been doing in the parish over the last 48 hours with this period of Eucharistic adoration, but it also leads to the importance of days of recollection, leads to the importance of our making regular retreats, our being able to escape with Jesus precisely so that he can give us the rest our souls need. Because if our souls are constantly going from one activity to the next, we're never really going to be able to have the time to receive what he wants to give us. What I want to ponder mostly, though, is what Jesus did at the end. We know the actual geography of what Jesus took. At the top of the Sea of Galilee, it was about a 4-mile trip on a boat. But if you walked it, it would be about 10 miles along the upper lip. And when these people got a sense of the direction where the boat was going, they walked 10 miles in order to be able to meet Jesus when he disembarked. That's the hunger that they had. And when Jesus, even though he was trying to give his apostles rest and probably taking some himself, when he saw that vast crowd coming there and the hunger that was signified by that type of journey, said, and I've explained this before because it's a very graphic Greek expression, his bowels exploded with pity for the crowd. He lost his stomach. He lost his lunch. He was sick to his stomach in seeing how needy they were, like sheep without a shepherd. So what did he do? Something we need to really grasp. First thing Jesus did was teach. He taught them. He knew that they needed his wisdom. So he taught them. I'm working on a book about the 4 times Jesus' bowels exploded with compassion. First thing that Jesus does as a result of that is he teaches. Second, he feeds. Third, he heals. And fourth, he forgives. And our compassion needs to exemplify all 4 things. We need to teach if we really care for somebody. We need to seek to heal as best we can, especially those relationships that are wounded. We need to feed. And we need to forgive. Jesus taught the crowds because he loved the crowds. And he knew that if sheep were going to get the direction that they needed, he needed to teach them. That's his great desire. Out of love, he teaches. What's our correlative desire? We see what it at least ought to be in the first reading today with King Solomon. King Solomon was 18 years old when he acceded to the throne of his father David. Imagine if there were an 18-year-old president. Let's just go up at Durfee and take the president of the class and make him president of the free world. Would you feel confident? Would he feel confident? If he did feel confident, we'd all have much more to be worried about because he would be totally naive. But that's Solomon's situation. And so God was very pleased that he wanted to begin his reign calling on God's help. And he went and he had a spectacular holocaust. In Gibeon he offered up 1,000 animals, 1,000 burnt offerings to God. Didn't have to do anything like that. Could have just done one. Would have been a real sign that he needed God's help. But Solomon wanted to show not only the Lord, but everybody, he really, really, really needed God's help. 1,000 times everybody would recognize that he was seeking to reign as God's vicar rather than as someone who was equipped for the office. God was very pleased with how he began. So he appeared to him in a dream at night. He asked him that question, a famous question. Ask something of me and I will give it to you. Ask anything you want. If we were asked that same question by the Lord, what would we respond? Anything at all you want, and I'll give it to you. What would we ask for? Solomon asked that because he was a mere youth, not knowing at all how to act, who was called to serve the Lord in the midst of the people, begged for an understanding heart to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong. He asked for the gift of prudence, and he asked for an incredibly sensitive conscience. Conscience means knowledge with, cum scientia in Latin, that he would know together with the Lord. It's an organ of sensitivity on the inside in which we're able to hear God's whispers. And Solomon begged for that type of organ so that he could hear how the Lord wanted him to rule in that circumstance and that he could rule adequately for the Lord so that he wouldn't fail the Lord or his people. He wanted, in other words, the Lord's teaching. He wanted to enflesh it so that he could rule with the mind of God and with the heart of God. That's what the Psalms were all about. What did we pray today? Many times. It should be our attitude. If God were to ask you, what do you want? We respond today. Lord, teach me your statutes. Then we can almost hear Solomon's autobiography. How shall a young man be faultless in his way? Not just personally, but now publicly in his office. How can I not make mistakes? It's by keeping your words, Lord. With all my heart I seek you. Let me never stray from your commands. Within my heart I treasure your promise that I won't sin against you. Teach me your statutes, O Lord, so that with my lips I will declare the ordinances of your mouth. I rejoice in the way of your decrees, like in all riches. Solomon, as God said to him, could have asked for all the riches in the world. Could have asked for a long life. He could have asked for the death of all the enemies of his father so that he wouldn't have to worry about any of that type of stuff. No, instead he asked for the real wealth, the treasure of God within that he wanted lavishly to share. And we will see over the upcoming week some examples of how Solomon ruled in accordance with that gift. The Lord had taught him his statutes. He incarnated them. And it began to impact the way he judged, the way he ruled the people. And he became famous throughout the entire world for his judgment, authoring several of the wisdom books of sacred scripture. But there's always a but. He knew what he needed to do. God had granted him that gift for the entirety of his life. What happened with Solomon? Solomon eventually stopped following that conscience. Solomon stopped personally living according to the Lord's decrees. Even though he had received that gift, he stopped hungering at a certain point, such that by the end of his life, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He wanted 1,000 different sexual partners. And what happened is because he was being led away by the flesh, he started, in order to please those wives, to worship their pagan gods. And that's when the whole empire started to unravel. And we see that immediately upon his death, it was divided for the rest of its existence. Likewise, we cry out to the Lord through the sacraments, teach us your ways. God doesn't just give us the gift of wisdom, the gift of a conscience. He actually gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us in the inside. But we've got to make sure that we don't choose life according to the flesh, which kills life according to the Spirit. That's one of the biggest lessons we can learn from Solomon. That it's not enough just to know what we need to do. We need to turn to the Lord for the help actually to do it. Not just that we will know it with our mind, but continue to love it with our heart in such a way that, just like the blood goes to all our capillaries, that love for the Word of the Lord will influence our hands, it'll influence our feet, it'll influence our eyes, our ears, so that we might listen to others as the Lord listens to us, see others with His eyes, serve them with our hands, and run to help them with the compassion of the Lord's statutes, decrees, and teachings, just like Jesus, as He disembarked, had compassion on the crowds and taught. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Josephine Paquita, one of the most beautiful of modern saints. She died in the lifetime of many of the people here. She died in 1947. She was born in the Sudan in 1869. At the age of 7, she was kidnapped by Arab Muslim bandits, pirates, forcibly converted to Islam. She was really just an animist at the time. And then she went through 5 different slave owners who brutally tortured this little girl. One of her slave owners, in order to teach her and everybody else a lesson, showed up one day with 3 things: flour, salt, and razor blades. And so, with flour on her black skin, traced a whole bunch of intricate designs that would mark her according to the family. And then with the razor blade, traced 114 images on her breasts, on her arms, on her belly. And then when they were still bleeding, poured salt into those wounds, precisely so that they would never heal and that they would always bear those markings. Every time the Arabs in the Sudan would command their slaves, they thought that their slaves would never obey, so they would always whip them at the same time they were asking them to prepare breakfast. The 5th set of owners was the Italian consul there in the Sudan. And Paquita, which is what she was called, the fortunate one, because of the trauma, believe it or not, of her kidnapping and all that they had done to her, she forgot her real name. She could never remember the name by which her parents had called her for the first 7 years of her life. She was shocked that they wouldn't beat her when they told her that she needed to do something. Eventually, the political situation got so unstable in the Sudan that they needed to go back to Italy. And in Italy, this consul allowed family friends to take her as the servant. She basically became the nanny to a newborn girl with whom they grew up. But this family wanted to go back to the Sudan afterward in order to make some money. Josephine, when they had gone to test out the new house that they were buying and to just make sure everything was safe, was put in the custody of these Canossian nuns, a teaching order there in Italy that would then go and do missionary work. And it was there that she met the true master, not the slave masters who had brutalized her before, but the one true Lord. She never wanted to let him go. So when they came back and said, Josephine and the little girl that she was helping to raise got to come with us to the Sudan, she fought it. There was a big lawsuit, and the Patriarch of Venice, the The future Pope St. Pius X defended her. He was the one who had given her first Holy Communion and confirmed her. She entered into the Canossian Order. She became such a tremendous example of maternal patience over the course of the rest of her years, over 40 years in religious life, that they began to call her a saint during her own lifetime. She was beatified with Blessed Jose Maria Escriva in May of 1992, and in the year 2000, in a canonization I was privileged to be able to attend, she was raised to the altars of St. Josephine Paquita. What does she have to teach us all? She has to teach us two things very important about today. The first, she teaches us who our real master is. Pope Benedict, in his beautiful encyclical on Hope in 2007, wrote extensively about St. Josephine, of how it was through the experience of having earthly masters, and some of the times the evil that they did, that she was able to appreciate all the more how great a master we have. Not a slave master, but a father. So she was always teaching everybody about the love of the Father that had made her first a daughter. Then the second thing, about the real importance of education. She always worked in the schools. She had never received much of an education herself, but she knew she could teach the compassion of the Father. And all the girls in that school used to line up as they were coming in just for Sister Josephine to pat them on the head with love and to say a few words of kindness. In the opening prayer of this Mass, we prayed that pondering the sufferings of the crucified Christ, which she bore in her own body, that we might, and listen to these words, that we might remain steadfast, persevering in charity, and prompt to show compassion. And that great bowel-exploding compassion was the teaching of God's love, hope in His promises no matter what, and a great desire for heaven. Today, through her intercession, we ask her to intercede for us, that we might receive the gift that God had given Solomon and persevere in it all our days, so that one day, we pray, we might come to experience eternal joy with the heavenly Paron, which is what she called God, the heavenly Master, our Father, who wishes to say to us, as He said to her, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world." Praise be Jesus Christ.